let's do that. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, there are so many things to thank you for. And we have so many reasons to bless and praise your holy name. Father, as we open your word together this morning, we ask for wisdom. And Father, I ask for your help to convey in an effective way your words and words that may be hard to receive. Father, help our hearts to be receptive always to your words. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The death of George Floyd was the match that lit the fuse. I don't know really everything about George Floyd. I know he was an imperfect man. I know he had his failings. But I'm equally confident there were days when George Floyd was a good guy. And it seems pretty clear that he didn't do anything for which he deserved to die. And so the resulting explosion was a cry for justice. And that's a reasonable expectation. In spite of the fact that we live in an unreasonable world, we live in an imperfect world, a broken world. There's a Jewish proverb which states, expecting the world to treat you fairly because you're a good person is like expecting the bull not to charge you because you're a vegetarian. In other words, the bull does not care. He's a bull. And he's going to do what bulls do. And this world does not care. Because this world, as we learned, I think, last week, this world lies in the power of the evil one, as John tells us, 1 John 5, verse 19. So guess which direction the world is going to go? Well, it's going to behave like the wicked, sinful place that it is. Still, justice is a reasonable expectation. It's something that God expects. God expects people to be just, to treat people, all people, equitably, fairly. God seeks justice. Over 250 times in the Bible, we hear the scriptures promoting and encouraging justice or denouncing injustice. God hates injustice. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. That's from Leviticus chapter 19. And those words are part of that larger conversation which comes to an end a couple of verses later, where the writer says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We remember those words. From Deuteronomy chapter 27, it says, cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. I know those are Old Testament passages. That's because justice is part of those basic elementary principles of life that God expected His people to learn and practice. Not that the New Testament ignores the topic. Jesus said, woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb and neglect justice and the love of God, from Luke chapter 11. See, they were careful to observe certain parts of the law, but they ignored some other parts like justice, which are equally important. God expects His people to be just. In fact, remember the great faith chapter, the great hall of fame of faith chapter from the book of Hebrews, right? Chapter 11. And in that chapter, the writer talks about all these different people and all the great things they have done because of their faith, all these great demonstrations of faith working in their lives. And then towards the end of that chapter, he begins to draw his conclusion with these words. And he says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. What a great summary statement. And we love that, don't we? Makes the heart swell with pride to see and to hear about these tremendous demonstrations of faith. But did you hear it? As he goes down that list of these tremendous displays of faith, did you hear it? He said they conquered kingdoms. What was the second one? They enforced justice. They enforced justice. You ever thought about that as an expression of faith? It's right there. We sit back and we watch the videos of the protests. And we're shocked. We're shocked at the behavior of the protesters, perhaps even enraged. And we think somebody's got to do something. And we cry out for justice. But what did we do? What did I do? As we watched George Floyd take his final breath. Oh, that was so tragic. What's for dinner? From our scripture reading, Hayden read for us this morning, we hear from the prophet Micah, one of the minor prophets, because his writing was not that long. But Micah was a contemporary of Isaiah. And Micah's task is to preach to the people, convincing them of their sin. And he charges them with idolatry and covetousness, oppression, contempt of the Word of God, and to show them the judgment of God which was soon to break upon them. And in the sixth chapter, where the scripture reading came from, we hear what God is asking from His people. And Micah is telling the people, this is the response that you're supposed to be making, and it's not rocket science. It's really pretty simple. He says, this is what you do. You do justice. You love kindness, and you walk humbly with your God. That's your task. He mentions those three things. I'm primarily interested in the first one. Do justice. Because that's what God is expecting. And of all people in the world, certainly Christians ought to be concerned about justice. We ought to care about justice, and we ought to care about every act of injustice. Because God cares about justice. He cares about people who are oppressed. He cares about people who are abused. He hates it. And of all people that ought to care about justice, it ought to be you and me. It ought to be God's people. What Amos say? Another minor prophet. From chapter 5, he says, God says, I hate. I despise your feasts. I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I'll not accept them. And the peace offerings of your fatted animals, I'll not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs. To the melody of your harps, I'll not listen. But let justice roll down like mighty waters, and righteousness like flowing streams. See what he does there? He equates justice with righteousness. That's what he wants to see. And there is so much injustice in the world today. The death of George Floyd was just one example among millions. His death exposed a flaw in humanity that we would just as soon not look at. But if we're going to be the people of God, we need to look at it. We need to take a long, honest look at it. Because the rock, his work is perfect. All his ways are justice. It's from Deuteronomy 32. The king in his might loves justice, from Psalm 99. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, Matthew 12. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Revelation 15. Yes, the Lord God, the Almighty, true and just are your judgments. Revelation 16. God cares about justice. We must care about justice because it's rooted in the nature of God. Why is it that we may not care? It's been suggested that it's because of privilege. I was offended by that at first. But that might be right. That might be right. I know we've worked hard, but still we enjoy many comforts. We enjoy many entertainments. And because of all of those things, maybe we have become anesthetized to the hurt, to the pain, to the abuse that some people experience on a daily basis. Things we never experience. Maybe we become numb. Do justice. And then he mentions these other two things that are equally important. But we're not going to spend as much time on them just because we don't have time this morning. But he says, love kindness. Love it. Notice he doesn't just say, be kind. Because we can pretend to be kind, can't we? We can put that front out there. But that's not what he says. He says, love it. Love it. Love kindness. Because if we love something, we're going to do it, aren't we? I mean, people generally do what they love. And so that's what he's asking. He's asking us to love kindness. Treasure it. Find joy in it. Find different ways to express it. Look for opportunities to display it. Love it. Because if we love kindness, we'll be just. We will demonstrate just. We will treat all people equitably. We will treat all people fairly. Because that's being kind. And we'll seek it not just, we'll seek justice not just for ourselves, but for our neighbors. And who is our neighbor? Every other person on the face of the earth, right? Doesn't matter their race, gender, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter which continent they live on. We treat them all with justice. We treat them all fairly. And walk humbly. I'm going to steal these words from Charles Spurgeon, a preacher many, many, many years ago, who said this: I do not advise any of you to try to be humble, but to be humble. As to acting humbly when a man forces himself to it, when a man talks a great deal about his humility, he is generally a hypocrite. Humility must be in the heart. And then it will come out spontaneously as the outflow of life in every act that he performs. So, walk humbly when you are spiritually strong. Walk humbly when you have much work to do. Walk humbly in all your motives. Walk humbly when under trials. Walk humbly when between you and your brothers in Christ. Walk humbly when dealing with sinners. True humility is thinking rightly about yourself. When you have found out what you really are, you will be humble, for you are nothing to boast of. To be humble will make you safe. To be humble will make you happy. To be humble will make music in your heart. To be humble here in this life will make you wake up in the next life in the likeness of your Father. That's pretty good. Humility will help us to see the greatest injustice the world has ever known. And that's the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. But in another real sense, that cross was justice. Because the wages of sin are death. And Jesus on that cross died the death that I and you justly deserve, that we may be saved. If there's anyone here that we can encourage this morning, we want to do that. If you want to become a child of God, if we can pray for you this morning, that would be our privilege. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly. If you need to come, please do so while we stand and while we sing.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more.